understand that this thing that we've called toxic shame or deadly shame or nuclear shame, its fruit is alienation. But the interesting thing is that it alienates you from yourself. In other words, whatever part of you that is sort of hanging around believes that this other part of you is so unworthy, so without merit, so totally that you cannot possibly let it be seen. And so this other aspect of you just, it never stops posturing because of this alienation. Well, what has to happen, if there's two of you, if the duality exists, then that's the double-mindedness. Double-mindedness is always the fruit of self-alienation. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways because by definition he sabotages himself. So what has to take place, the transaction has to take place, is that, to use the psychobabble term, the two have to be integrated, but then the integrated one has to go to the cross. It's the reason that when there's alienation, the cross doesn't make sense is because which one of you is going to the cross? And the reason it talks about, you know, command your soul to be at rest, well, which one are you going to command to be at rest? There's too many yous there to deal with. And so it's real slippery.
You just explained perfectly what I feel like I've been going through all day. I mean, you said something to me at breakfast, the remark about, you know, you think marriage and or whatever's going to save you, you know, or marriage or relationship.
You are so unworthy that your only worthiness can come from a significant other. And if that's the predicate that a relationship is based on, you're doomed before you start. And so, and that's why, again, I mean, we all know it. Most relationships are just a joke. They're just, they're a lie. They're a series of one-act plays. Or they're a series of three-act plays without the third act.
Also, it's come to my awareness that I have a huge hole in my memory, and that is school. From the beginning till about halfway through the seventh grade is a great big hole. That was a hole before, but I didn't know it. Such a hole that I didn't even know that it existed. But I can remember family, I can remember childhood, I can remember vacations, relatives, Christmas, all that kind of stuff, but I cannot remember school other than one or two very brief shots of me in trouble in the principal's office. And I remembered it when I got out of your office today.
But see, Harry, the thing that you, that those kinds of statements are the doctrine of creative consistency. This template over your life says, I have got to, it benefits my persona to give the impression that I've been this rebel that is always in trouble in the principal's office, that is always in you know, getting kicked out of this or doing this. And what the template is a lie, because the template is an assumed personality. The real you during that time was a desperate, self-seeking, really pathetic person, but you create a hero in your mind. And you were in trouble in the principal's office, you're kicked out of Boy Scouts, you're kicked out of Cub Scouts. You create a hero instead of letting that integrated personality be one and remember it and take on the shame of it. That's why you don't remember those issues, because you weren't a hero in school. Except these little snapshots of time that you remember, but they're not real. The memories are, and I'm not. You just happen to be the one that mentioned it. I mean, it could have been anybody. Your memories of self are creative. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's the object of having to sit in that seat. I mean, what you did was, it was a throwaway, but it was the revelator of pure evil. And now you resent it.
I resent it. I don't understand it. I just said I don't remember.
But you, the thing you do remember, if you've said it to each of us 100 times, you remember going to the principal's office because you were in trouble. You remember getting kicked out of Boy Scouts. You remember getting kicked out of Cub Scouts. You remember getting kicked out of church. Well, truth is, and then that probably happened. But it's a whole persona that you've created to make yourself seem like this heroic rebel, self-individualistic guy. And that can't be, that there's not one of us here that buys that. That doesn't integrate with what we know of you. And that duality of that personality only hides and it's creating this constant thing where you're constantly in trouble because you've got to face it. You've got to face who you are and let that go to the cross. Not invent somebody and then try to put the invented somebody to the cross. That's what's happening. And again, everyone here is guilty of the invention of a person, of a persona by their memory, and then trying to put that invented persona on the cross. We're real sneaky. And that's why it takes so long for the manifestation to be real. That's why we must die daily. And I'm not mad at Harry. I mean, I hope you know that. I mean, that's it's just, it could have been anybody that would have said that. We create, that's why there's so many holes in our memory. It's because we don't remember the things, again, this template. You know what a template is? A template for... Why don't you guys move over here? Let me... That's your memory.
It's your memory.
And only this is a template that covers the memory. And you only let the light show through that defines this imagined or created being.
I have a really dumb question. What is a template?
A template is
the, it's like a, can you use it to draw stuff?
A template is a,
it's like a gobo.
What's it's that? A. It's an image.
It's Plato Gobo.
That's a template of a hand with a bad thumb. It's an image.
It's an image. All right.
But it's not just an image. It's an image that withholds it. It covers. Yep. So, but the template of your memory is. Has all the shoulds and ought tos of your being, of who you are, who your parents were, all of the places where you've been passed through the fires of Molech, all of the insecurities you had as a child, all of the fears, all of the nightmares, created a you. And most of the things that created you were the negatives. Most of the things that defined you were the shame, the embarrassment, the failures. And what you do then is you've created a template that amplified the things that you consider consistent with this template. And sometimes it's really stupid. I mean, like, little shit. I mean, she's got a template over her whole her persona that causes failure. It causes her to sabotage herself in 100 ways, in 100 things. I mean, let's face it, had she not been here and been a part of who we are, she'd have been fired 10 times in the last 6 years. And if she wouldn't, well, she would have quit too if she hadn't been here for that matter. But my point is, there are so many things that she does routinely in the job that she would have gotten fired for under a normal situation. And I'm not embarrassing, we just talked about this. Do you understand that? Where she sabotages who she is. Now, every one of you do the same thing, especially with relationships. You do not believe at the core that you're worthy of a relationship. Now, you get by with it for a sustained period of time, but at some point you must sabotage it. And you do very well. And that sabotage is why we are here. It's you can't get by with a sabotage if we are open, if we present everything openly to ourselves. But you've got to see that you can no longer trust your memory. I mean, Harry's been busted for this so many times, it's getting old. But he's got his template, only, man, it just has one or two little images in it. And everything else is a gray mass. But his template creates, it's like a movie caricature. It creates this persona that has these certain conditions and these certain aspects that none of us buy. And so you spend this great deal of effort trying to convince yourself and everybody around you that you see life through these little things like this, and then this thing over here, this misshapen thing over here, is you. Well, the problem is there's too many of them that are contradictory. You understand? Am I communicating?
Have you ever seen a computer keyboard where you have a little template that lays over it? Because you can't trust your memory to remember what the keys are, so there's a little thing that says what F7 is. And the keys come through the template that tells you what to do because you can't remember.
Now, go to Matthew 8. No, Mark 8:34.
Is that like a selective memory? I mean, you're only remembering what you want to remember?
Yeah, but it's not done like you didn't decide to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Right now, Harry didn't decide that he was going to remember what he remembered about his life. I mean, it's selective back at that time of the molding. But now you've forgotten why you said it, why you selected it that way.
But you're like stuck with the template.
You're stuck with the template.
You can't do anything about it as an adult unless you... Shame is dealt with.
Shame and the other aspects, but since we're talking about shame, that's what we're going to deal with. Okay? So you understand that the first thing that's required here is that do all of you agree that that's a possible case? Is there anybody that doesn't agree? Okay, now, read Mark 8:34. Somebody.
When he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Okay. You've heard me talk 100 times about what the word deny means. It's the Greek word aporneomai, and it means to take no thought about yourself anyway. I mean, it's not to stop doing something. It's to stop this template. It's to take this template out of the picture. Now, it's to give no thought, it's to know a secret that nobody else in the universe knows, and that is to know that any thought that defines yourself or about yourself under any guise is a lie. I mean, that's basically what this word means in its majesty, to deny, to aporneomai. It means not let there be one thought about yourself whatsoever. Okay, but to deny himself, the word himself there is a word, I don't remember the Greek word for it, but it's a word that means that which makes you, you. This means then to deny your you-ness, your whoever it is that you have thought you were, to abandon it. To abandon it totally. Not to negotiate with it, not to pick it up and smell it, not to try to figure it out, but to abandon it totally. And to know the secret that every single time that you made you the subject of your sentence, that you've given the land back to the enemy. Now, this is big. I mean, this is at the core of life. This is why what we are about isn't in competition with some philosophy or some religion. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything else. Because anything that brought you to the point you are here tonight, all of that is equal. It didn't matter whether it's charismatic Robert Tilton theology or heroin. They're both equal because they only brought you to this point, right now, tonight. Anything in the past is all equally not bad or good. It's neither one. It's just all equally stuff. To get you to the point where you can deny the thing that makes you you. Now, that's really dangerous. And only a very, very few ever hear it. Many are called, but few are chosen, because it's only the chosen, by definition, in God, are the one. The only way you can be chosen is if you abandon yourself, or deny yourself. Now, once the process begins, then it's not over, it's not a one-shot deal. Because what has to take place is, by the act of constantly denying yourself, abandoning yourself, knowing the secret that any single time you ever think about yourself, it has to be repented of, then that just is the beginning. Because what has to take place, according to the mind of God, is that you must be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So your mind has to be renewed. How can that happen? Well, you've got to get rid of that template. The template is yourself. For the sex system on this. Deny yourself. I can't tell you how difficult this is. I can't tell you how easily you are to be seduced back into taking thought for yourself. You must have suspected by now how easy it is to fall back into self. Because everything in the universe causes you to put your eyes on yourself. They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. You understand that? As long as you're out in the game trying to improve yourself, trying to get better, trying to improve this, trying to make this better, then you're in an alliance with all of the templates of the universe. It doesn't matter whether they're positive or negative, good or bad. You're in alliance with them because you are in this alliance that says it's possible to improve yourself. So you deny the law of God. Law of God. When I drop that, it's going to fall because of gravity, right? Boom. Law of God. Second law of thermodynamics. Nothing in the universe left to itself can ever produce anything greater than itself. It always is the law of entropy. Everything about you, everything that you see is denigrating, is getting bad, it's going downhill. If you don't believe it, just wait a few years. Everything is getting bad. Everything in you and everything in the world is trying to fight against it. And no, it's not. It's not getting bad. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Every way and every day, I'm becoming a better and better person. I'm learning more about life. I'm learning to be a nicer human being. I'm learning to be kind to myself. I'm learning to be kind to others. The template has a common denominator. The template says, when it benefits me to do good, I will do good. Every template, every yourself template, has that as its common denominator. When it benefits you to do good, you will do good. When it benefits you to do bad, you will do badly. As long as the kingdom of self is advancing, Satan is happy. So the template is Satan. Yourself is Satan. The Satan, ha-Satan, is the opposer. You're supposed to be that way. You're supposed to have opposed until you see the vanity of yourself. Is everybody, very simple. We've gone over this a million times. But the vanity of yourself is nowhere more revealed than in your memory of yourself. Now, the thing that will cause the memory of yourself to be seen for its stupidity is shame. Because when your shame is exposed publicly, then you can understand the futility of all the other definitions of self that you've ever thought you had. And you're not going to like it. Oh, no, I don't need to do this. This is terrible. This is dumb. Well, you're right. This is a place where we're going to do it. However, if you don't like to do it, then this isn't a place for you. This is a weird group of people that call themselves believers, that we have taken a course that says we're going to celebrate each of the feasts of God, and part of those feasts are the preparation and the destruction of the false worship in the high places. Now, the fire that forged your molten images, the fire that forged how you respond emotionally to stimulus, was shame. The only way that you can destroy those molten images, to mar them, and there's only one fire that's hot enough to destroy those molten images, is mercy. But you have to name the shame.
Name that shame.
Name that shame.
You understand that?
But with the template being there,
the template is going to just be made fun of.
Well, yeah, I know that, but with it there, how can you see clearly to identify those?
Because of failure. Failure causes you to see a hole in the wall.
That's when you said, too, that Christ failed. And that's part of the people who believe in failure.
That's right. Now, again, you understand, does everybody understand the template? We have to get rid of the template is yourself. Now, the real you is down there. The real you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's always been there. He didn't need you to make a decision for Christ. Didn't need you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior because he was always there. He's always there in all men. This seed, this kernel of life. Now, the question is, how to get the inner to match the outer? Now, that's what God has given us, the power to do that. And the power, believe it or not, we might as well do it. The power is called the pineal body. Or in animals, it's the pineal gland. Go to Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with me, and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. The meaning, the Hebrew meaning of Peniel or Penuel or however you pronounce it, and it's a Hebrew word, it means the face of God. It's in the law, it says you cannot see the face of God and live. So because of that, When Jacob saw the face of God, his name had to be changed. There had to be a new creation. And here we have a picture of what it was like, what this process is like of destroying the template. You're struggling all night. The night is far spent. You're struggling until a day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. You understand that from the time of the cross until today, spiritually, it's been one night. We're still in that night. When Christ was crucified, the sun set spiritually. It set in the natural, but it was also set spiritually. And there has not been morning yet. We're still in the night. The night, that's why Christ said, the night cometh when no man can work. The night came on the cross. No man can work during the night. The night cometh when no man can work. Jacob is wrestling with this angel. You are the type of Jacob, the flesh. You are wrestling with the angel all night until a daybreak. And the wrestling occurs at this place where you define who you are, the self. And the winner has to be the Peniel, or the face of God. And that happens to be the seat of all instinct. If you go down to Southwestern Medical School, you'll understand, you'll study the pineal body as part of, it's called a body in man because it's a claim to be a vestigial organ. In all other animals, it's called the pineal gland because it's the seat of instinct. It's where, when a bird flies from, no, birds don't fly from New Jersey. When a bird flies from Canada, mosquitoes fly from New Jersey.
Swarm of them, maybe.
Group
instinct. Mosquitoes fly from Canada and end up in the Galveston marshes. What?
They end up in mosquitoes.
The mosquitoes.
The butterflies.
It's also water.
They are guided by this thing called the pineal body, and it's light sensitive, and it's magnetic sensitive, and it's all kinds of sensitivenesses that we don't yet know about, and science doesn't yet know or understand. But that's how the animals are guided, by the pineal body. Now, once you pick up the cross, the instant you as a human being pick up the cross, the pineal body in you is transformed into a pineal gland. And therefore, that's the place of the vehicle by which God then guides you. And he guides you by doubt. He guides you in the same way an inertial guidance system goes. When you think not about yourself whatsoever, you're going. You're doing exactly as you should be. But the moment you think about yourself, in other words, you may not understand this, but in order for you to have more than one choice or more than one option, you have to think about yourself. And that's the cloud that's down. The instant the cloud's that's down, you wait, you do nothing. And you wait until God again moves in the pineal body. And then you move. But the instant you take your life into your hands, you try to solve the problems, then you have set yourself up to fail. Because God, by his Holy Spirit, has to cause you to fail in whatever it is that you're attempting to do, in order for him to be true to who he is. Until you return back to this simplicity. How long shall you get about to change yourself? That's what the prophet Jeremiah says. So you return to this simplicity of guidance. And the guidance that comes to you at that pineal body. And at that point, the abandonment of self, taking no thought for self, taking no thought for tomorrow, taking no thought for what you should eat, taking no thought for what you should do whatsoever, the Spirit of God is open. You've opened the door to your soul so that the Spirit of God can guide you. But I promise you, if you ever hear that somebody say, God told me this, God told me to do this, he's lying. That's why, I mean, there's a lot of liars. Including this one, your own mind. God is revealed. The mystery of God is revealed in the abandonment of self. And only there. Can you see why you can't take thought for tomorrow? You can't take thought for what you're gonna. Let's go there. Go to. That's how Jacob is transformed to Israel. Israel, she who sees God. That's the bride, the church, the body. Now we are, and then by the act of the abandonment of self, what happens then? You're going to end up in need. It's guaranteed. And the need is that hook that God uses to knit the body together in love. So there can be no more singular isolation. You can't, you know, Lone Rangers for God. You understand? This is the basics of all basics. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, how did he beguile her? The serpent beguiled Eve primarily by the simple act of saying, you need more than you have at this moment. And because of that, you need more than you have at this moment, that was the test, that was the beguiling. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's see how this is affected in Christ. Let's go to Matthew 6. Do you understand? Other than if this intrigues you, spend the rest of your life having different ideas about God. There'll be as many definitions of God, there'll be as many denominations as there are, you know, people who have enough balls to talk about it.
Experiencing God or talking about experiencing God.
Right. You're born Unitarian.
I don't think they're all
I'm born Unitarian.
All right. What did I say? I'm Matthew 6. Now, hear me. If you don't agree with this, and if you're silently sitting there rebelling, saying, well, that couldn't be right, that's not smart. Verse 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, there's a million different theories about what mammon is, but you don't have to worry about a theory. It's a Chaldean word that means, very simply, whatever you have confidence in. You cannot serve God in whatever it is that you have confidence in. Is it in whatever, of the infinite number of things that you could have confidence in, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. It's not like a thing you shouldn't serve God and mammon. It says that you cannot serve God and mammon. For some of you, that's money. For some of you, it's talent. For some of you, it's looks. For some of you, it's intelligence. But you cannot serve God in mammon. It's impossible. Now, therefore, because of that, therefore, the mammon is the template. Do you understand? Well, that's a better way of saying it. The template was created by whatever it is that you have confidence in. Your doctrine of creative consistency, your mammon slowly etched the template in your mind. Now, it's a dumb template. It's a bad template. It's a lying template. It's a lying evil template. It's an antichrist template. I mean, can I provoke it anymore? It's a slimy. Slimy is good. Slimy template. Oh, no, not mine. Mine's a sweet template. Every time I look at Sherry, I think of that.
I can't imagine that you would say that.
Well, it's because of that. Oh, I just want to serve God and be the best wife that I can be.
You never. I said that?
Yes, I said that.
I said that.
Obviously, I get a kick out of Sherry's voice because she's so soft-spoken. She sounds like a classical music disc jockey or something. Just so nice, butterwood melt in her mouth. Fuck you! I mean, it's right there.
Well, she's letting that
that's
out.
That's why it surprises me when he should say sweet, because that's
No, he didn't say you were sweet. He just said the template.
I'm like,
The template is one of being. Well, but the template is one of. I mean, I'm serious. You are your whole persona is one of putting forth this image to yourself and to the people around you. And it's not good or bad. It's just what it is.
Well, I know there has to be truth to that because Donna said that when she first met me, her image of me or what she came, you know, her first understanding was that I was a goody-goody, and I laughed because I don't.
Well, but that's what that is. What she put forth, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But my point, I mean, it's not picking you. All the templates are crap. All right. Therefore. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought.
While she's on the phone.
What's she doing?
This temple.
She's back.
You know, it's amazing that anything would even get through that. It's amazing that she could even believe.
That's why the miracle is, that's why we have, that's why the only way that that's destroyed is by failure and suffering. And that's why you know, it's so important that you can't reign with him unless you suffer with him, because that's the only way that can be destroyed.
Is this right? I'm getting this thing about this temple thing. I'm getting the feeling that it's like, it's this thing. That it's the mask. It's what I'm looking through.
Yeah, but it's what you're looking through both ways.
Yeah.
You're looking back, you're looking out through the template, and you're looking back in your memory to this.
It's invisible from in here.
No, it's not. You know that you're lying.
That awful feeling you've had your whole life.
You know you're lying.
Yeah.
Don't trust anybody over 30 years.
Through
you can't trust
it to see Christ. And then some don't.
Everybody has the opportunity. God has put a million times in your life, He's put obstacles in your path, hoping you would stop and consider of Him and His mystery, but you obstinately and determinedly forge on ahead, rising above the cloud. And the real evil is when you rise above the cloud in God's name. But everybody, 1,000 times in their life, 100,000 times, has the opportunity to stop and know this mystery. And then the more you understand it, the more understanding is given. The more you begin to see spirit, the more spirit you see. Now, you were saying?
No, I'm done. I'm working now with, I know I'm lying.
Well, it's, if you did, hear me, my friend, if you have to work with it, you know you're lying. You don't have to, it isn't taking a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
He said to me once during a hot seat, when my lips were moving, I remember that real well.
You don't understand. Do you understand how dangerous it is to have Harry edit the tapes? His template is over the doctrine.
I just remembered something else you said to me today.
Another thing.
I have 9 Harrys out there.
What?
What does that mean?
What does that mean, Harry?
What do you say?
They don't want to do their jobs.
What?
He just insulted me.
It's so fun to insult Harry because it's like putting time bombs all over the place. Hey, you know, you got them. You got those ones you could put one
tiny little time release capsule.
Time release capsules. And hey, you'll wake up about 3 in the morning and say, "Son of a bitch."
I wake up and realize what he's done to me.
Okay, we're Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, because you can't serve 2 masters, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now, consider what this is not a light statement. He didn't just sort of offhandly pull out a few things and say you shouldn't take any thought for them. He said the things that you shouldn't take thought for that define life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. Now, I want you to hear that part of what you put on is the garment. You understand? What you eat is what gives you sustenance. What you drink is what gives you worth. And what you put on is what gives you identity. Now, that's the reason that we're designed like we are. What you touch is what you have dominion over. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. Okay. All of these things are so totally, nothing is an accident. It's that we can live in the mystery. We can live the mystery. We can be the mystery. But he said, take no thought, first of all, at the first level, for the things that give you life, what you eat, what you drink, and what you put on. Just the very things that are necessary to survive. But spiritually, he's saying, it's even more wonderful. He's saying, take no thought for the things that will sustain you, the things that give you sustenance. Take no thought for the drink, what things that you will get worth from. Take no thought from the garment, what kind of identity you will have or don't have. I mean, it's the take no thought is for everything. And hear me, and if you take no thought for these things, which are the aspects of life, the foundation, the bones of life, then how silly is it to take thought for the other things that you automatically start to justify yourself in doing? Well, I'm going to take thought for my kids, or I'm going to take thought for my job, or I'm going to take thought for my career, or I'm going to take thought for my house, or I'm going to take thought for this. You understand, the moment you give that land back, then you've said, I want the template back. I want myself back. So I cannot deny myself because I'm taking all of self back for this one thing that I've defined as good. And so what has to happen? Again, by the Holy Spirit's action, when he's come into the world, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father, and of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. He has to send the Holy Spirit to cause you to fail. And so your attempts at success are in truth fighting against God, especially your attempts at success in God's name. Because what you've done is you're putting God's name on that template, and that really pisses him off. I mean, I know that one. So take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall put on. That's true at both levels. It's true at the level of survival, and it's true at the level of spiritual reality. It's even more true there. Does everybody understand that simple?
But at the same time, we're going through all this looking inward.
That's right.
Examining yourself.
That's right.
It's contradictory.
Well, the contradictory part of it is because you are still worshiping those idolaters. We have to, by the law, one whole tract of the Talmud is called the Abudara Zara, and it's the marring of idols, strange worship. We have to go through and destroy each of those idols that are in here. Now, the problem with the idols that are emotional, that have an emotional base, is it's easy to destroy the intellectual idols, the pillars, because that's just a matter of just, you know, showing their vanity from an intellectual standpoint. But the emotional-based idols, the molten images, are the ones that were forged in your shame. And they're the ones that you're helpless against. They're the ones that are the trigger mechanisms that cause you to go into rage. They're all of the, you know, the ones that cause you to go into fear and whatever. They're all of the agoraphobia. They're all of the phobias. They're all defined and forged by shame. Now, once a year, we go through this act of attacking the idolatry. I mean, we do it more than that, but if we see it, but It's done as a body because that's what was done here to prepare for Passover. That's the type. So that the Passover can be total. Amen? Does everybody understand perfectly?
You know, I get confused. I can't, there's nothing really solid for me when you say deny yourself, because I don't.
Anytime you think about yourself, stop. Anytime you make you or yours the subject of your sentence, run for the cross.
Whether it's good or bad.
Doesn't matter whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
Anytime you start being concerned about Ben, seek the forgiveness of the Father. Anytime you be concerned about what, you know all of the natural instincts.
So what you're saying is, you can deal with what you need to deal with, just as a living human being that takes no concern or heaviness.
No thought.
Well, see, I don't.
I mean, I didn't. Hear me. This isn't Ollie's words. Do you understand?
Okay.
But you're looking at me like this is Ollie's words.
No. What I don't understand is because I know I take thought. Well, when I take thought, I'm not particularly taking thought on myself. And that's the difference.
Well, let's look. Let's continue and see what it says. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is, if there was a Christmas party coming up, and I said, I need something to wear, and I shouldn't go get something? Because that, I mean, this is how simple and it.
No, but that's not what that's not the source of your questions. The source of your questions is the concern for control of your life.
Well, I mean, clothes have to come from somewhere, and either I go get them
I don't know how to explain this to you, but you can probably tell by my wardrobe, I really don't think of what I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably is obvious. It's probably self-evident.
Yeah, you got that one right.
Rex
speaks. We think of it.
First damn thing I've heard Rex say all night.
Really,
that's right.
You really missed him, huh? I understand that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Yeah, I remember that conversation from the past.
The evil thereof is evil, meaning everything that's coming against the seed. It doesn't need your own self-seeking to come against it.
You got enough already.
The test is sufficient. The evil is, again, good and evil are only merit in the context of soul, spirit, of whatever it is that's testing the seed of Christ. The innocence of that seed is evil in the context of that moment. It's wonderful in the context of the end. But sufficient unto the day is the test. You don't, if you put your own thing into it, you've stopped the test. If you put yourself back into it, then you are not with him. You are not of them that continue with him in his temptations, because you're still back there concerned about your testing. You understand? God isn't interested in your testings. You're not to be tested anymore. You failed. The reason the warfare is over is because you lost the war. Can you hear that? So, it's not, I mean, You understand how much of your effort, how much of your life you spend trying to fight a war that you've already lost? It's like these guys, I mean, we've used this metaphor before, but it's like the, you know, wasn't very many years ago, they found this Japanese soldier on the island in one of those salt sea islands. He was still out there fighting the fucking war, excuse my French.
Yankee dog.
But that's a perfect metaphor. His race lost the war, but they won. And yet he's out there fighting against the flesh. Take no thought. Now, you understand that, how can I say this? You're not going to get it right. Can you hear that one?
Yeah. I mean, even that analysis right there, you're looking at yourself saying, yeah, I'm not going to get it right. Well, that's taking thought for yourself right there.
You know, you're not going to get it right.
Yeah, you've got to take off.
So what? Then what's to happen? The reason of time and space is this tension between the perfect law, which is the abandonment, and the perfect antithesis of the law, which is you. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So what happens? You. It's this thing of the law, the spirit coming against flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And in you cannot doing it, he is doing. This isn't a place where you're going to get little nuggets of wisdom to go out and be successful. That's not what we're about. We're about understanding and appreciating the mystery.
The best we can hope for is
the best you can hope for is antagonism.
Yeah, but I mean, to understand, we couldn't get it right.
The best you can hope for is to glory in tribulation.
I had
because the tribulation. Definitely.
Gary came over to move that stuff with Hal, and I'd had a rough night, and I hadn't had a lot of sleep, and we were sitting down and eating, and we were talking, and I was saying, you know, I'm tired, and I had this, and I was expecting, you know, she was coming over, and I had all these things going on that I was taking on, and I was feeling all this pressure, and I was feeling drained and weary, and he said to me, for the first time I understood what it meant, he said that Christ is revealed in weakness. And all of a sudden, instead of struggling against that weakness and that weariness, I was able to actually be glad of the condition. And when I came to that, all of that pressure and all that crap that I had put on myself was gone, and the rest of the day flowed, and you know, I was weary, but I wasn't upset or anxious about the fact. And it was really quite a pleasant day.
Amen. Romans 5. He's the only man that can take on the righteousness of every Pharisee in the world with one word. What?
Why?
It's like Jack Benny is a Pharisee.
Not what?
Well. Wow.
Jack Benny, I mean, Harry makes Jack Benny look spiritual. Verse 20, it's talking about Abraham as the model of faith, and it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, he was strong in faith doesn't mean he was this great hero. Read the life of Abraham. He fucked up every other day. Excuse my French. He really did. But he was... the same thing about Moses. It says Moses, not wanting... He gave up the riches and the glory of the... what?
It's chewed.
He's one of those. He is chewed. That's a pretty good word. Huh? You don't have to go to class.
No, not like some people.
Moses, the scriptures in Hebrews say Moses, he gave up the riches of Egypt, not wanting the riches of the palace, and he gave them up for the suffering of Christ. Well, if you read about it and go back and read about it, he ran for his life.
Yeah,
they were gonna kill him.
Sure.
Yeah, but so what does it say though? I mean, let's read what it says.
Say, have you ever seen those children's books where it's like heroes of the faith? I'd love to see this picture of this guy just hauling it.
Says,
heroes of the faith.
By faith. By faith.
The true story.
By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, they weren't afraid of the king's commandment, they wouldn't have hid him. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what faith saw. What we saw, what the flesh saw, was him running from his, because he killed an Egyptian. There was a death penalty on him, so he ran for his life. If, again, you got to hear me. You got to hear this if you've never heard anything else. If the book of Acts were being written today, it would say that the Holy Spirit called faithful Rex from Florida. And Rex, operating in faith, came and stood and was a hero of the faith in Dallas. Right?
Wow.
I'm serious. That's what God sees. But that's what God sees. And it would say, and faithful Rick.
Oh God.
He heard that the mystery of God when he was yet but a young lad, and he remained faithful to that all the way for the rest of his life.
No,
didn't say that he left for a pack of cigarettes and was gone for 8 years. But faith would say. But faith sees the process. The faith, I mean, do you understand me? That's what... Faith sees the faithfulness of faith. So you don't have to take... That's why you can get yourself out of the way. You don't even have to see yourself. You don't have to worry about whether you're faithful or not. You don't even have to worry about whether you're being saved. I mean, I'm not here because I want to be saved. I'm here because this is the only damn place in the world I want to be. I mean, anything else, it just covers it with religious self-righteousness. Let's go to Romans 5. Anytime you start worrying about yourself, think about old Moses. Mm-hmm. Right? Running for his life, yet the scriptures say, he eschewed. He didn't say, I didn't see eschewed once. Okay. Romans 5, the best you can hope for. The best you can hope for is to glory in the tribulation. Unless you want to go believe Tilton. You only got two choices. That's the reason Tilton saw such a perfect foil. Because it's the contrast. We as a people and they as what they're doing are the perfect contrast for the mystery. And besides that, he's so easy to make fun of. Romans 5. Well, we're up in verse 4. I mean, chapter 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's where we must stand. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to him to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, that's why it says that Christ was manifested in the flesh, but justified in the spirit. It's so important that you understand that self-justification has to die. Self-justification is the evidence of shame. We'll get more into that. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the hope of the fruit of faith will destroy the template of shame. But in the process, the only thing that we can be assured of is that we can glory in tribulation. Now we're good. Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind or give attention to the things of the flesh. Now the flesh here doesn't mean this isn't like talking about sex. It's talking about anything that's perceived with the senses. Do you understand that? Okay.
And they are who?
Whoever does it.
Me.
You. Everybody. But they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, the only way that you can afford to abandon yourself is to understand it's finished. If you don't believe it's finished, you won't abandon yourself. You'll have to take it into your own hands. Can you hear that? The test of whether or not you believe him when he said it's finished is whether or not you can live without taking thought for the things you eat, the things you... Wait, for your own life, taking thought for tomorrow. Okay, now watch. Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, hear me. You're not spiritually minded by running around thinking about spiritual stuff. You're spiritually minded when you abandon self. Can you hear that? Because the carnal mind is carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is enmity. Enmity means mortal enemy. The carnal mind, this mind, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So that they are there in the flesh cannot please God. Now, well, it says, I'm not carnally minded, I have the mind of Christ. Well, if you're thinking about, if you say that, you're by definition, you're carnally minded. Because what the mind of Christ, it says, we let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. The mind of Christ is one that cannot think of itself. It's a constant flow. It's outward. It's emptying. Do you understand that? It's not memorizing little Bible studies, the words, or half scriptures that justify, that justify you sending all your money to me. Do you realize I could have been a reasonably good evangelist? I mean, it's just sick. I could do the stuff that Tilton does, but it's sickness upon sickness. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It doesn't matter what the flesh is doing. It doesn't matter if you put every God's name on every bit of the things that you're doing. It doesn't matter if you have all kinds of wonderful plans and ideas. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please him. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Now that's the point that I want to get to. You don't owe the flesh...
Jack.
Diddly. Now, you don't even owe the flesh. I mean, you gotta recognize by now. If you don't, if you haven't met Rick's dad, you gotta meet him. Rex is pretty. Well, Rex and I are also in that. But it's like I've given my body everything it wanted for all these years, and it's turned on me. I mean, you know, what's your dad? How did your dad say that?
He says, I don't understand it. When it asked for a beer, I gave it a beer. When it asked for a burrito, I gave it a burrito. How could it turn on me like
that? I listened to my body my whole life.
Yeah, I listened to my body.
My whole life. When it's a burrito, I give it a burrito.
Well,
that's great.
But you understand that we are not debtors to the flesh, to any part of the flesh. Not what we eat, not what we wear, not what we think. Nothing. We don't owe it jack. That's the secret of life. And we don't owe anybody else's flesh jack either. We are not debtors to the flesh. To live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How do you mortify the deeds? Do you go beat yourself up with some? No. You reckon it crucified. Reckon. You reckon it crucified by ignoring it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, or we cry, Abba Father, or Daddy. Spirit of itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. That's where you're made. You're made subject to vanity, and some of you were made a whole lot more subject than the others. But all of you were made subject to vanity, not willingly. You didn't decide I wanted to be concerned and completely... You were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. The hope of what? The hope that vanity coming against the innocence of Christ would... produce tested holiness. Untested holiness is garbage. But we despise the test. We think that suffering is strange. Suffering is the test. We think it's strange. We think we have to fix it. We rest in it. We hear under. We don't need solutions any longer. That's what sets us apart. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's not sometime when we pass over the river Jordan, and when we die, it's today. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation, and the groaning and pain is what scientists call this law, the second law of thermodynamics, where everything is denigrating. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do likewise with patience wait. Then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, remember we studied in Zechariah, the roll, the scroll is flying across the face of the earth. And the scroll is the curse, the law, the curse of the law. And you remember we said it in Proverbs, the causeless curse alighteth not. In other words, it doesn't, nothing can offend you. Why? Because you've gone to the cross. You don't have the template is gone. Nothing, you don't take umbrage at anything. Nothing offends you. Nothing, they can say anything in the universe about you and it won't offend you. The causeless curse alighteth not. Why is it causeless? It's causeless because he has taken your curse, your ideas, your things and taken him to the cross and nailed him to the tree. He became a curse for us, so the curse now is causeless against us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Doesn't mean they're not going to. The test of whether or not you're the elect is that all the charges can be laid at you and you don't respond. You understand that? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only place that you can be separated from the love of God is by that template, your mind. So let the reason that we can deny ourselves and pick up the cross, we can deny that template, we can take no thought about us at all, it's because of that pineal body. I think it's a physical thing in us, but that pineal body is just a manifestation of Christ. Okay? Everybody understand perfectly? There's a lot of stuff tonight, but a lot of basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Anybody have anything?
Just a word of approved.
Where in the Romans 8?
Well, just only takes the test is not.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Disapproval, but approval.
Right. We're not put to the test for the purposes of disapproval. We're being put to the test for the purposes of being approved. It's only our minds that tell us it's for being disapproved. Amen? very simple. Let nothing confuse us from the simplicity. It's as simple as life. Okay, take it, big guy.